This is Stephanie, and this is the Mocha Minutes Podcast. Hey guys, before we get into the episode, I just want to let you know about something that's a little new here at the Mocha Minutes Podcast. We are now participating in Buy Me a Coffee. So if you haven't heard, buymeacoffee.com is a place where you can show some support and some love monetarily to some of your favorite content creators. That includes me. So it's in the increments of either $1, $3, or $5, and you can do as many as you would like. So I just wanted to let you guys know, would love, love, love some support. So if you would go to buymeacoffee.com/mocha minutes, I would greatly appreciate it. It will also be in the show notes. Okay, here we go.
It should have been different, but it wasn't different. Was the same old story. I did John and so alone. Should have felt like a glove. It should have felt like a ring, like a diamond ring. A token of true love. Should have all worked out, but it didn't. She should be here now, but she isn't. There's your trouble, there's your trouble. You keep seeing double with the wrong one. And you can see I love you. You can see she doesn't, but you just keep a holding on. There's your trouble.
Hello, welcome to the Mocha Minutes Podcast. This is Stephanie. Thank you so much for joining me. And if you know that song, you are like me and Beyonce Giselle Knowles Carter. You like the country music. That is the Chicks, a.k.a. the Dixie Chicks. Sidebar. I remember when Lady Antebellum changed their name from Lady Antebellum to Lady A. They talked about it on the show. And then they didn't bother to check to see if there was somebody else with that title. And there is someone named Lady A. She had been making music for a few decades, right? So the thing about it is they changed their name to be more sensitive, and they're like, yeah, we're going to change it. Gave this black woman a hard time because you didn't literally check it. And mind you, to this day, if you type in Lady A, it comes up with them, the band formerly known as Lady Antebellum, and not her. But then it's like they didn't want to answer the question. So what does the A stand for, folks? Yeah, that's what, see, it's like, it sounds so stupid even when you're thinking about it. The Dixie Chicks, on the other hand, it's kind of like you're connected to the Chicks and it's not really too much of a girl that's crazy to me. But also now you're like, are there people or a group out there called the Chicks? I don't think it is. So I think it kind of works for them. But Dixie and Antebellum, I think it's not way the same, but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah. Welcome to the Mocha Minutes Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to just create, you know, record like something kind of simple. Or, I'm not simple. Quick. And I find what I think is going to happen with this episode is that it's going to just be unpopular opinion. Or popular. Or, oh, right? So, a lot of stuff has been happening in the last few weeks. Other than grief, depressive episodes triggered by grief. Outside of that, for me, just talking about for me, other stuff has been happening out in the news of it all. So the ditty of it all, I have not looked at it too closely. But there's a lot of people who have been allegedly warning folks about Dr. Love, or Mr. Love, or Papa Diddy Love Love. I don't know what his name is now. Yeah, I don't know what his new name is now. But people have been warning y'all about Diddy for a few decades now. And when I think about, I think Young Jock was on Heavenly's Patreon, and I think a clip is going around because it's on the Patreon, so it's behind a paywall. Hey, girl. Where he's saying you could, like, press charges and, you know, sue. Like, basically, you can do civil and criminal at the same time, which technically is true. But I think the thing that Jock may be forgetting is that it has to be within the statute of limitations. The only reason why we heard about what happened with Cassie is because New York State changed the law. That is literally the only reason. Because I think what is going to be very interesting is that people aren't looking at something. If New York State hadn't changed the law, Cassie would not have brought this up. Also, a big glaring red flag is the fact that Diddy did not come out and say anything, nothing, no PR, nothing. They literally, Cassie went up on a Tuesday, settlement was done on a Wednesday. I think after everything was settled, he may have put out a statement, but not before. And it's like, I'm sorry. To me, that's that red guilty. But I'm wrapping myself in a big bubble of alleged. So I can't say that I can't say for certain he's guilty, because I can't say that. But it didn't ring innocence by that either. So there's that. It's a lot going on. I think a few people were saying, like, why is no one thinking about Diddy's children? Because apparently two of his older children. And so I think it was Quincy. And the other, oh my God, why am I just blanking on his other son's name now? And I feel terrible. But it was like, how is it his kids get arrested? First of all, I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because they're not children. If they're raiding a home, any adults in the home are going to be a part of this. And I am so sorry. Of course, now I have not yawned all day. And now all of a sudden, as soon as I start recording, I can't stop yawning. This is just, I'm so sorry. So I'm going to say that right now. I am sorry. I'm not yawning because I am bored. I'm yawning because my body is tired and I haven't gotten good rest in the last maybe 2.5 weeks. It's self-inflicted. Hello, depression. Hello, grief. Everybody talks about grief. I've seen several people describe grief in a way that it all is applicable, even though it all sounds kind of different. I have seen people talking about... See? Look, I've not yawned all day. Now I can't stop fucking yawning in the last 10 minutes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I had a friend of mine when my father had just passed talk about, like, grief is like a marble in a box. Over time, the box just gets bigger. The marble just is still there. You have a small box in the beginning, and all of a sudden you get a bigger box. More time passes. Doesn't mean that it's not always there. I've seen people talk about grief, saying it's something it'll take for the rest of your life to get over. I actually agree with that. The other one, saw it on WandaVision. Oh, I'm sorry. The other one is... from Danny Starr. She no longer goes by Danielle. She goes by Miss Danielle, no longer Danny Starr. But she said, other people said it, grief is not linear. It comes in waves and ebbs and flows. And right now it is in a full wave in my brain. And I think the other one, and that's the one that's sitting with me right now. What is grief? Except love trying to persevere. And that's what it feels like. It's grieving is just love of that person just persevering. So for everybody who is going through grief, no matter if it is like a very pivotal person in your life or just your animal companion or a friend or a coworker, or a role model that you know. It's okay to grieve. And it's okay to let yourself heal. And it is okay to do it as long as you want, because the only timetable that you should respect is the one you give yourself. No one can tell you how long you can grieve someone that you care about. They can't. That's very, yeah. So, small little tangent. Let's get back to what's happening in Diddy's life. So, yeah, his adult children, that's the reason why they were literally in handcuffs, because they're adults. Mind you, we adultify our own children, because Quincy and Chance, oh gosh, why am I so bad at this boy's name? They could have been 14, and I have a feeling they still would have put them in handcuffs. It would have been more egregious, and there would have been more people upset. But yeah, it's a lot going on with that, going on with Diddy, and it's something, it's ever moving. I'm recording on a Tuesday. Something could probably come up tomorrow, Wednesday, because apparently Diddy is still very much not in jail. I don't think he's been arrested yet. I don't think so. So there's that. Second thing is, and I think this kind of like grand opening, grand closing, because I don't think anybody's really talking about it anymore. And it may have been because it was just like a big group of people going, girl, what the hell? And this is whole thing with Anthony Mackie. All right. So TikTok is a place where people love to bring their opinions, no matter popular or unpopular. So there's that. So a young woman told a story of how Anthony Mackie is the meanest person ever. He's the worst person. It's like, apparently she looked like she was near tears. And that was the first thought I had is that literally just happened. It didn't happen like 3 weeks ago. That literally just happened. So she was talking about how she was at a gas station and talked about what happened when she met Anthony Mackie. So the young woman's name on TikTok is Lacey Cole. And she was just talking about how, like, she saw him in a gas station. And she was like, I'm sorry to bother you. But apparently he put his hand in her face. I don't think it was like right on her face. I think it was just like, you know, someone put a hand in your face. Like, no. Right. And I think she just said, oh, but it kind of like, it just bristled her in a way that she had to tell the story. She's like, I just wanted to tell him like his stuff meant something to me. And he just said, no. So I think so the thing about it is, and a lot of people, like, people looked at her, listened to the story, and they said, he ain't got to speak to you. He ain't got to talk to you. Which, honestly, is very true. So when I looked at the story, and I was listening to her speak, the first thing besides me saying, oh girl, this just happened. The second thing was, I find that very interesting. A lot of people saying, I'm like, why are you feeling like you're so entitled? And how dare you? Like, girl, he ain't got to talk to you. Or people saying, it is well known that Anthony Mackie, it's like, time out. All tea, all shade, Anthony Mackie is not that well known. Okay. So it's not something that's well known, because the thing about it is someone, even if somebody who pays attention to a little bit of things, this is not the first time I've heard that Anthony Mackie is rude to people, but I find it very interesting that people are saying like, everybody know that about Anthony Mackie. I'm like, I think there are some celebrities when enough people tell you their quirks, you know it. Howie Mandel is a germaphobe. I know he's a white man. I hear y'all. But everybody knew that. You want to know why? He also said it. It wasn't like, this is pre-social media. People knew that about Howie Mandel because he's the one who said, I'm a germaphobe. And, you know, I do like, you know, pounds. I don't shake hands. I don't do this. I don't do hugs. I don't do none of that. Everybody knows that because he actually said it. Other people have told stories. This is pre-social media. There are other celebrities where, you know, if you see them out, they're probably not going to acknowledge you. They're just not. It's like I had several different thoughts, and I know it's nuances. I really do. The other thing was, I was thinking, if this was a kid, he did this to a kid. I don't think he would have put a hand in the kid's face. I think he would not have done that. Because the thing about it is, no one is saying that he can't say no. And I think that was the other thought. No one didn't say, she wasn't mad that he said no. It wasn't what he said. It's the way that he said it. I don't know any black woman who don't like any, like, you put a hand in my face, that's like so disrespectful. It is. I don't know any black woman who is not going to say that to you. Like, girl, don't put your hands in my face. Like, what? The other thing is, I was looking at what this young woman looked like. And if you've seen her, she's a very beautiful girl. But let's be very clear. She is an unambiguous black woman. And I'm wondering, if maybe Lacey looked a little bit different, would people still be saying that to Anthony? I don't know. The bad part about it is, based on what people are saying about Anthony Mackie, he probably would. But I'm wondering if the reaction would have been the same. I distinctly remember Cardi B was out somewhere. She was dressed provocatively, or just dressed like Cardi B. Somebody walked up and grabbed her ass, and she was visibly upset. And I watched a few men online say, well, look at the way you dress. What do you expect him to do? Not put his fucking hands. It was like, wait a minute, hold up. So if I dress a certain way, you got the right to put your hands on me? See how that worked? No one did say you're not entitled to talk. Mind you, it was women who said that, but not some of the men. You didn't say that he was not entitled to touching her because of the way she dressed, even though that's like literally common sense. Because the thing about it is, I get, and I do, and oh my gosh, it's like, I didn't know we had these cats, girl. Hey, kitty cat, where you going? Where you going? Oh, I guess you're peeing in front of somebody's car. Okay, sorry. Yeah, Mark in front. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I don't know why I'm sitting here like, girl, these cats, like, it's just cats. Okay. It wasn't about what he said, because he don't have to take a picture with her. It's the way he said it, but also, Lacey, I don't think I would have gotten on the internet and said that. But I find it interesting. Everybody's like, y'all so entitled. People don't have to talk to you. There's many a celebrity who has talked about bad interactions they've had with people that they consider their heroes. A lot of people have done it. Usher has talked about it. There's a lot of people who have met like their heroes and they're so disappointed. And no one is telling them, like, who do you think you are? He don't have to be nice to you. It's like, it's interesting who we say that to. The other thing is, and I do agree with this point as well. The thing about it is like, this is my other thing about this whole Anthony Mackie thing. Either way you look at it, I agree with either side. Because it's like, no. It's like, you're right. He does not have to talk to you. He can, like, actually just, like, say, like, no to you, and it's totally fine. I think where the irresponsibility is realizing, sir, you actually are a celebrity. So if you were just some random dude at the gas station, we wouldn't care. But also, we'd be like, girl, he ain't got to talk to you. Like, girl, brush it off. F him, right? But because he's a celebrity, there's, a part of a responsibility of, now, girl, you know people watching you. You won't have to do a little bit better than that. But that's neat. That's neither here nor there. And here's the other thing. Anthony Mackie didn't just get famous. He's been acting for quite some time. So this is not a new phenomenon for him. But it may just be new for us. That I can say. I think it's just new for us about Anthony Mackie to a certain extent. It's like, but he's also the person who thought that Black Panther was racist. That's the way the clip was titled. But, yeah, it's some weird thing about the Black Panther movie because, you know, he ain't in it. But you know what? Let me shut up, Stephanie. Shut up. Stephanie, shut up. Yeah. You don't have to treat people like shit to get your point across. Because one, like, you're not entitled to his space. You're not entitled to his time. You're not. And I know people were saying, like, you don't know if he's having a bad day. And it's like, but you can also apply it to the young woman, too. You don't know what happened during her day. This could have sent her over the edge. It could have also have sent him over the edge. It's like, the thing about it is empathy can be given to either one of the people in this situation. And I can wrap this up with a bow by saying, girl, I would have never told this story. Only because I watched as people literally say, who the hell do you think you are? So it's kind of like, baby, please don't come to the social media and expect people to validate your feelings. Because I will promise you, the social media will hurt your feelings. And that sucks. Because it really did. I was just kind of like, wow. Like, there's some people who don't even like Anthony Mackie. And was just going, girl, who you think you are? I'm like, okay, all right. The other thing is, before I talk about Potomac, and I feel like Rodney the voice, yeah, everybody about to get this work, right? March 31st is Trans Day of Visibility. It has been Trans Day of Visibility for quite some time. And for some, okay. So someone had pointed out, I think it was around the Oscars, and they were looking at like nominees and so on, and a lot of them like who didn't win and were black. I gotta find the tweet that I actually do it. But the person's like, I mean, that's not true. Other white people haven't won. They're just rage farming. And I said to him, sir, white people make up 60% of the population in America. You honestly think we don't know that? It's still a coincidence. Get out of my face. Anyway, Trans Day of Visibility has been March the 31st for quite some time. So Trans Day of Visibility, or TDOV, has been celebrated for a few years. When I say few, it's been since 2009. It is 2024. I want y'all to do the math. Right? So for this year, it coincided with something else. Now, Easter is a holiday. It happens annually. However, it's never the same date every year. It's always a Sunday. Easter is always a Sunday, but it is never the same date. For Easter, the way that the Easter holiday is determined, let me just do this. So, Easter is determined by the first Sunday after the full moon that occurs on or after the spring equinox. It is not Christmas, which is December 25th. It is not 4th of July, July 4th, a actual date. Memorial Day, Labor Day, those are not, even though this is not Easter, like Labor Day, Memorial Day, it's not religious holidays, it's not the same day every year. Juneteenth, June 19th, date. The observance of these holidays may differ if the dates of these places are on weekends, and that's from a working adult perspective. So Easter is never the same date every year. Sometimes it's not even in the same month. Sometimes it's in March. Sometimes it's usually mostly in April. I thought I'm so used to Easter being in April. When it's in March, it always kind of throws me off when it's in April. When it's in March, because it could be like, it's usually like either late March, like the last week or two. If it's in March, probably the last week in March. In April, it could be like 1, 2, 3. I think in 2025, I think Easter is going to actually be April 20th. So it's never the same date. So for some odd reason, we watched a whole bunch of adults be dodo brains. And I am going to call y'all dodo brains. I'm going to call y'all stupid because you are stupid. Only because this is rage farming for you to actually think that Joseph Biden has the power to tell you guys it's Trans Day of Visibility literally the Friday before if he is announcing a holiday or day of remembrance. Especially one so big as trans visibility. To watch so many adults be dummies. To watch so many adults be so dense. To watch so many adults who literally hold many computers in their hands. Smartphones. That you could Google this before you even open your literally your dick suckers. You could literally look this up. To watch so many people do the wildest shit is hilarious to me. And to top it all off with just random ass adults doing it, you have somebody by the name of Caitlyn Jenner, a trans woman, actually joining in the fray of Joe Biden needs to apologize. It is despicable for you to announce Trans Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. First of all, Trans Day of Visibility has always been March 31st. Second of all, Caitlyn Jenner is literally morphed into her complete form. Let's be very clear. I know a lot of people have been misgendering her. I'm not going to do that. Let me just tell you right now. Caitlyn Jenner is acting like a white... She is a super Karen. And she always has been. When she, before her transition, people just kind of chalked it up to, oh, well, that you know how they are, right? Now that she's transitioned to a woman, I'm like, please understand. She's in the right identity because she is a super Karen and she always has been. But to watch one, when she had her reality show and yet protests, and I still... Then that clip is burned into my brain. It's core memory for me. Watching this activist say, you do not speak for us, Caitlyn. And having all of these, one, and all these trans women, very liberal trans women. You have these black trans women standing in your corner. Notice that none of them are like, yeah, girl, I got it. They have all gone, girl. I think somebody, you know, flash them and told them to get out. Because, girl, get away from Caitlyn Jenner, please. Caitlyn Jenner does not care about trans people. She does not care about her own community. She cares about herself. You will find a lot of people like that. Unfortunately. But, yeah. Caitlyn's always been a super Karen. So, to watch her join in the fray, I'm not surprised. Donald Trump doing it? Of course. I'm not surprised by any of that. I also am not surprised that people are weaponizing their Christianity against trans people. There's something called the Crusades, and that was actually a war that people put in the name of God. God, that you are putting in such small box. God, that actually you think you have to carry out something that he flat out said, vengeance is mine. You are not omniscient or omnipresent. How dare you launch into a whole war to fight? The Ku Klux Klan, very, very Christian folks, will weaponize Christianity for hate of anybody who is not white or Anglo-Saxon and Christian. And that's even a sliding scale, for being honest. I've watched so many people who are hateful weaponize Christianity, weaponize God, weaponize Christ for their hatred. And diminishing the biggest theme in the Bible. Biggest theme that he teaches, which is love of everyone. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for close to, oh gosh, I think it was 15. So yeah, almost 30 years in a few years. Please don't ask me to do math. It's late. Y'all heard me yawning. That's one thing you don't miss about if you read God's word, if you study, you meditate on God's word. love. Love of others. Not really like you should love yourself, but really a big theme is loving of other people. Not loving how they carry themselves. Not loving how they identify. Not loving the color of their skin. Loving them just because they are alive just like you. That's the other part that kind of pisses me off. Y'all are doing this thing like, how dare you talk about trans visibility? These are still human beings. And if you really are very religious, tell me again what Easter, what is the theme of Easter? That Christ Jesus rose because he died for everybody's sins. Everybody. Not every straight person. Not every white person. Not every person who identifies as the gender they were assigned at birth. Every single person. He died for us all. You big bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. Two things can happen on one day. It could be Easter Sunday, and which is commemorating Jesus dying for the sins of the entire world, not the straight world, not the white world, not the Anglo-Saxon world, not the Christian world, not the identify as the gender you're assigned at birth world. Every living thing on this planet. And it could also be a day where people who are now being able to, or should be able to, live out loud of who they want to be. It is a day commemorating that. Where we do not pass judgment. We shouldn't be passing judgment any of the 365 days. This is leap year. So it's 366 days this year. Where you're not passing judgment on someone who is trans or non-binary. Because, yeah, because it also talks about people who are non-binary as well. That they're like, I don't fit into that. My being, how I feel, is bigger than just a binary butt code. Y'all really should be ashamed of yourself. Like, I don't even know. I can't back this down. Y'all sound very weird. Because the thing about it is, the bad part about it is, how many people got to tell you, y'all sound stupid. It's always been this day. And if you really are someone who believes in the teaching of Jesus, one thing he tells you is about love and loving other people. So I think in 2025, it's also going to be 420. You're going to tell the people who smokes all of the weed that they better not be smoking no weed because this is Easter and how dare you? Or are y'all going to let that fly? Because the thing about it is, stop weaponizing Christ to stop using Christ, the Bible, and God as weapons of hate. You cannot weaponize God, who is love, to hate someone else. And the bad part about it is, it's so easy for y'all to literally not use your brains to actually be so hateful. It is literally one day. And the bad part about it is, it's been going on since 2009. I feel like some of y'all didn't even know this. That's how I know that y'all are stupid, because y'all just didn't look it up. It's like, wait, why would he do this? It's like, he's literally talking about the day that happens every single year and has happened since 2009. How many days is that? How many? Okay, so if it's 2024. 15 years? A decade and a half? Like, are y'all okay? I'm sorry, I know y'all not okay. Never mind. I don't know why I said, are y'all okay? I know for a fact that y'all not. Y'all not okay. Y'all are a bunch of weirdos. Y'all are so weird. Stop being hateful. And please leave trans people alone. Also, I applaud every trans person who, even with all of this foolishness going on, they live out loud as themselves every single day. I hope. I said today is Tuesday. Today is Monday. OMG. I just realized that. Today's Monday. I'm actually recording on April Fool's Day. That's crazy. I said Tuesday at the beginning of this episode. It's actually Monday. Can't even get my days together. I want every person who is trans, that is their identity, trans, non-binary, I hope that you will continue to live out loud, however you see fit. Just letting maybe just your friends know that you are trans, being if you're stealth, if that's what you need to do to stay safe, or that is more comfortable for you, go right ahead. I think, one, you deserve to, like, do anything that you want to do. And I'm saying that, and this, you don't need my permission either. I'm like, who am I? Nobody. Right? So for everybody who participated in Trans Day of Visibility, thank you. Thank you for the trans educators who is punching the clock at a thankless job, may not even be getting compensated correctly for educating so many people who literally say, I don't know, and I don't know, and literally tons of videos. There is curriculums. There is all of this information out there. People say, I don't know. How would I find it? Girl, pick up the damn Google and look. You can Google songlingers. You can Google TikTok dances, but you can't Google something that you want the answer to. Craziness. So thank you to all of the trans educators, those for the trans allies, everybody who is literally just for being yourself. Thank you. And you deserve a day of visibility. Trans lives matter. They always have. And if you are a Christian who believes that God, that Jesus died for us all, that should be a no-brainer. If you believe in God and you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, then you should know every life is important, no matter if you agree. Here's the thing. You don't have to agree with anybody's identity and how they live. That's not your responsibility. And it's literally not. That's so self-righteous. I'm sorry. It's so self-righteous for you to think, I got to agree with how you live. No, you don't. You can mind your business. How about that? See how that works? If you don't want anybody judging you about your life or telling you how you should live, stop trying to look down your nose and punch down on the community. Oh, okay. Sidebar. So that girl, Pretty V, said, comedians just can't make... Yeah, I'm turning the page. Comedians just can't make jokes about stuff anymore. People too sensitive. You know what the first thing I thought was? Do you know how many white people wish they didn't have to stop calling us niggers in public? Some of them still do it in their house. Or they would have to, instead of calling niggers Negroes or Negroes black people, they don't want to do it. They didn't want to do it. How many comedians made jokes about black people? Until someone said, hey, don't do that. Excuse me. Kramer from Seinfeld was losing shit left and right because he decided to say, he's a nigger, he's a nigger, he's a nigger. And y'all going to sit down here and actually go, she got a point. Pretty V ain't got no point. I'm going to say this. It seems like people have no problem with communities being punched down on as long as that identity is not in your intersection. If you're not black LGBTQ+, you're going to feel some sort of way, it seems, that Dave Chappelle cannot make jokes about trans people. Kevin Hart can't make jokes about queer folks. You're going to get mad about that. It ain't your identity. That's why you don't care. It's like if you really think about the juggernauts, about comedy, George Carlin is one of them. Comedy is not to punch down. It's to punch up. And also, for black people, we intersect in a lot of different places. We not just black. Some of us are black women. Do you know how many people just love punching down on black women? Keep going under that umbrella. You got black trans women. Or black disabled women. Black trans women. Like, yeah. There's a whole bunch of different things under the umbrella. It's not just black. So if you think about gender identity, sexual preference, disability, religion, a lot of black people in gender identity, yeah, it's a lot of intersections that black people hit, which is why these other identities, that's why a lot of us should care. When people ask, like, why do you care? Like, why do you want to, like, just be respectful or try to be as helpful you can to the LGBTQ plus community? Because it's black people over there. When it comes to anti-Semitism, it's like, okay, why are you saying stuff about it? Because there's black people over there. When you see black disabled activists talking, it's like, hey, why are you highlighting this? Because it's black people over there. That should be simple. At least it should be. Okay, I said a quick episode, and here I am. It's not quick. Okay. So at the beginning, I hinted at black people in country music. I really do like Cowboy Carter. I enjoyed it. The cover of Blackbird is what sticks out to me, only because I kind of like that song. It's a great Beatles song, okay? John and Paul did that, right? I like this album by Beyoncé. I'm going to say this. If you have 30-something Grammys, you've done a dual album with your husband. You've done some rapping. You have done stuff within dance, R&B. I think you recorded a gospel song. She's done a lot. Beyoncé's from Houston, Texas. If you go to Texas, you're going to find a whole bunch of, one, black people, but two, black people who are cowboys and who like country music. A lot of black people fuck with country music. A lot. Hence why we don't play about Dolly P. We don't play about Dolly Parton. We just don't. We don't play about her. A lot of people don't. I like the chicks, the Dixie Chicks. I also, from like a time, love Shania Twain. Love Faith Hill. I just like looking at Tim McGraw. I know people, I have friends who liked Garth Brooks' music. So country music is just, we like music. It's one of our genre. And what I love about this album is that you're also highlighting that there are more, a lot of black people who do country music outside of Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. And if you listen to Hootie and Blowfish music, you can like, oh yeah, he could sing country he could do it. It works. So it's really funny because we think about country music. There's a whole bunch of black people who have been in country music for years. So Beyoncé is not infiltrating no genre. It's a genre that, like, every genre of music we're in, like, it's kind of like, yeah, they didn't want Lil Nas X hitting the country album charts. She had to get the cosign of Billy Ray Cyrus. And Old Town Road, literally, is such a bop. It's a very cute song. I like Billy Ray being on it. And also Billy Ray putting his neck out. Because here's the thing. He didn't have to do that. There's no reason for him not to do that. But he also didn't have to do that. He didn't. And he did. But yeah, Cowboy Carter is a good album. I enjoy it. I love the cover of Jolene. I love hearing Dolly. Here's the thing. But I didn't know Willie Nelson was on this album. I was like, oh, girl, I'm done with this. Is that Willie Nelson? Girl, y'all better leave me alone. I would, if you are a Beyoncé fan and or a country fan or a pop country fan, because I still, yeah, I feel like I'm totally my age. Yeah, I still remember when Taylor Swift was very country, 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 and then she decided, hey, if I want my money, I'm going to have to poppity pop, pop, pop over here. And a lot of people in country music did not like how pop she went. So, there's that. How dare she abandon us? But, yeah, because you don't really see Tay-Tay at the CMAs and CMTs no more. She's a little bit more mainstream. You know what? Let me be quiet. But, yeah. So, last thing is I want to wrap this up with... So I want to wrap this up with Potomac. So part one of the Potomac reunion came on yesterday. Potomac reunions are very interesting to me because, but as of late, the reunions have been a little bit interesting. So it seems like in the last few years, the first part of the reunion either is going to give or it's going to be like, girl, what is this? It's no in between, at least as of late. This first part of reunion, is actually literally contradicted what I just said. Because it was kind of like, it gave a little bit, but another one's like, girl, what is this? So, first thing, everybody looks stunning. Second thing, Giselle was not first chair this reunion. And I think that kind of woke her up. Because I have not seen in a while Giselle be this active at a reunion. And I think I agree with Carlos King. She's a little too comfortable. She sat a little comfortable because she was always, a lot of times she was first chair. I think Karen is also someone who was also frequented first chair. Neither one of them should have been first chair this season. I'm going to be completely honest because if I really, really wanted to say who should be first chair, it would be Mia. After the last 10 minutes of the finale, yeah, I can see that. The other one should have been Candace. I'm going to be dead ass serious with y'all. It should have been Mia and Candace, but those two don't need to be sitting opposite of each other. So it's like, who would sit opposite of Mia? Her big, like, this season was not anybody on this cast. It was Gordon. Who, I want to know if he got them t-shirts out. If you want fair, go to a carnival. I cannot. Fair is a variable smorgasbord, gorgasbord, orgas, sorry. As soon as he saw that, I thought about Charlotte's Web. I really did. I don't know why. I'm a weirdo. So it was like the way that the seating was, I think it was on one couch. Mia, Candace, Wendy, Ashley. And then on this side, Karen, Giselle, Robin, NECA. Yeah. I think the couches made sense. It's just the first chairs, to me, did not make sense. Totally. Mia first chair, yup, makes sense. Out of the left couch, right couch. If I'm looking at it, it's right couch. Left couch, Mia being first chair, makes sense. Right couch, Karen being first chair, makes absolutely no sense. None. Whatsoever. Karen don't need to be first chair either. The fact that this is probably one of the most animated times I've seen Giselle at a reunion in the last 8 years says a lot. Brandon keeps saying it, and the thing about it is they have not been able to prove him wrong yet. Potomac is the franchise of both sides of wrong, meaning both sides are wrong. Both sides got a little bit of right. But yeah, let me just tell you, at the grand scheme of things, both sides are wrong. So let's talk about the sides, right? Robin v. Candace, both of y'all are wrong. Here's the deal. Candace, you don't want to move forward with Robin if you're telling her, yes, I still think you plotted with Giselle. You keep leaving Ashley out for some odd reason, but yeah, Ashley, you can't say that you think Robin plotted to make, like, basically to throw up a smoke screen of Juan's misdoings by doing, like, plotting with them to talk about Chris. We can't move forward if you still think that. There is no way forward. I'm like, okay, good to know. There's no way forward. Because here's the thing. I want to ask a real question. Robin is an OG of Potomac. When has anybody else's husband's misdoings, and Michael Darby was on this show, how has that stopped anybody from talking about Juan? How has anybody's husband, let's see, Michael's, woof, Gordon, well now, okay, that's this season. Let's see. Michael Darby, Ray Ray's taxes, Sharice's ex-husband, Eddie. He ain't even been on the fucking show. Please point out how any of these other relationships or men. I think Sherman is another one. Any of the guys that, yeah, because they kind of picked up and threw down Jason and Giselle dating Jason. I wonder if they're going to talk about it in less other two parts. Sorry. Please point out how any of the other husbands' misbehaviors has stopped anybody from talking about Juan. It hasn't. This whole thing with you didn't tell us what was happening is funny, because they're like, why didn't you just like tell everybody, beat everybody to the punch? I need to ask. Again, I'm asking questions. Questions that I already know people may not have the answer to. Please name one housewife that has brought up any of their personal business that may make them look bad without any sort of provocation. Provocation meaning Washington Post, blogs, other cast members bringing it up. Name one. You are not going to find one. Would I have gone on the Patreon and talked about this? Absolutely the fuck not. I don't think I would have. I'm sorry. If you keep saying, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care, then don't talk about it on your Patreon. Don't talk about it at all. If you don't care, Robin, don't talk about it. See how that worked? I don't think I would have gone on the Patreon. But also, I find it very interesting that people are saying, like, well, she didn't share this with us on the show. I'm like, because it was opened in, it was discussed and worked out before the cameras even came up for the next season. It wasn't being filmed for the other season. This didn't happen during filming. It didn't. Because the other part that kind of got me was watching Karen talk about this. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. Karen, you are the person who was in, y'all were in the thick of filming. Went to France. Went on vacation. You brought your ass home and moved to Virginia. And told them nothing. That happened during filming. During the season. Said nothing. Girl, picked up your life. They had nobody had no idea. Hence why they did the joke about the prank about the pizza delivery. Because they're like, wait, does she live there? Like, what is going on? She did not talk to anybody. And they were in the middle of filming. This is why I'm like, Karen is not the pillar of transparency that she likes to let y'all think she is. Because even on this reunion when she talked about, yeah, I got in front of the story and I had a press conference making a joke. Karen, no, you didn't. It was in the Washington Post. It was already published. You got mad at Robin because Robin came to your home and talked to you for about a good 2-3 hours about what was going on with you and Ray Ray and how, like, this is just embarrassing. Because it is. I think it was like the second or... Let's see. Yeah, I think it was second season where it's kind of like, girl, this is embarrassing. I'm in the Washington Post. And I think it only hit the Post because Karen was on the show. If Karen Huger was not on a reality show, I do not think it would have made the Washington Post, at least the way that it did, that it was discussed. That's the only reason why it was discussed. So, ma'am, you had that press conference because you wanted to tell them bitches to shut up and mind their business. That's why you had salty nuts and water. Girl, please. You were mad at Robin because she said, like, she basically told Charisse and Giselle, oh, yeah, I talked to Karen, girl. So there's that. Robin, shut the fuck up. Karen has had an issue with Robin since season 2. It's season 8. So there's that. So Karen said, I got ahead of the story. No, you didn't, girl. You were behind the 8-ball because that is the also place where it's like it was already out and Giselle had the t-shirt with like free Uncle Ben and all. She was the one making a joke. Poor joke, poor taste. It was still a joke though. And you were actually mad at her and she had to apologize to you. And I think she also had to apologize to Ray Ray. So there's that. That's why I'm like, y'all, it's like the whole thing with Robin. I'm like, I could hear y'all if this did happen during filming. It did not. There's not one housewife that will just bring up their shit that makes them look bad. And I'm sorry, your husband being a dodo bird and telling you a story. Everybody's like, why would Robin tell us that story? Because literally, that is literally the, she is, Robin's telling you the story that she was told. Does it make her look like Boo Boo the Fool? Yeah. Is that the story she was told? Also, yeah. So there's that. I'm so sorry. I know what y'all are thinking. I know what y'all are saying. I kind of agree with people. I really, 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 truly do. Because the thing about it is, I agree with that. It does make her look stupid. Which is why I wouldn't have brought it up. It ain't true. We've already discussed it. I'm not discussing it anymore. The Patreon was a bad move. But also, I don't agree with her. Like, they're like, she should be fired. I'm like, for what? Girl, please. Y'all ain't fire people who get violent. So, leave me alone.
There is no way forward for us. If you still think that I would do that to you, then what's the point? There is no discussion. That's why she said, I don't need an apology from her.
If that's what you think, there's nothing for us to discuss. It's not. Candace, the reason that she brought that up with those screenshots is because of what you said. Robin was reacting to what you said on social media.
You cannot tell anybody, because I will say this to Giselle. I'm like, Giselle, you can't tell Candace how to react to what you did. So, Rob, Candace, you cannot tell Robin how she should react to what you did. It's like, wait a minute, girl, how did I get here?
Because the thing about it is, I find it very interesting because you're not keeping that energy with Ashley. Because if we're being very honest, Giselle's messy partner in crime is not Robin. It's Ashley. Even when they're not working together, they can download and discuss. Right?
If you're not going to give Robin benefit of doubt and just say, like, the fact that she's still sitting like, oh yeah, she like did it just so we wouldn't talk about Juan. I'm like, girl, that has not been possible since she's been on this damn show. Nobody else's husband's misdeeds has stopped people from making jokes about Robin and Juan. They've been calling Juan her roommate since literally season one or season two.
Yeah, I think she talked more about her. Wait, no, season one. Yeah. So it's like this, like Robin's roommate has been a running joke since season one. It's been 8 years.
Nobody is stopping that joke train. It's not. It's chugging up the hill. So there's that. All right. So Candace v. Giselle. Again, another place where both sides are wrong. Yeah. Giselle, I'm also a single woman. Would I be uncomfortable going to my hotel room with my castmate's husband after the reunion where he looked visibly upset about how things went with Nicki Minaj? And I feel like I'm the only one who remembers this, and I know I'm not, where she said, oh, we can talk about it later. If you have that kind of dynamic with Chris, I don't think I would feel uncomfortable being in a hotel room with my castmate's husband. I don't think so. But I'm not telling her not to feel uncomfortable with the situation. I get it. I'm a single woman. I kind of look at all the, it's the optics. That Chris Bassett did not do anything to make you uncomfortable. The optics of what it looks like is what makes you uncomfortable. That is not Chris Bassett's fault. It's not. Because if he knocked and said, hey, can we talk? You could have looked around and said, and I really don't like blaming, but this is not victim blaming, right? Because nothing didn't happen. But you look like, let's go down to the bar and talk. I bet you he would have said yes. And this would have been like over and done. The other thing that probably pisses Candace off is that when you brought this up, the first time you brought it up was on camera. It happened in December. You didn't talk about it until cameras came back up. And what did Candace say to you? Wait, did he say something to you? You said no. Did he do something to you? You said no. It turned into an office episode because she looked at the camera like, what is going on here? If you're saying he did not do anything to you, or not say anything to you, I'm sorry, I'd have cussed you out too. The other problem is, Giselle, you attached malicious intent to something that was not malicious. You are the one who said, many a man to try me. So that is what makes you uncomfortable. You think you're so beautiful that if you're alone in a room with some man, he gonna try it. Girl, no. You think that's a little bit too, that is leaning towards a narcissism that I don't think you have or should have. Because if Chris Bassett is going to dilly-dally and dip his wick somewhere else, you think it's going to be in the same wax and the damn same cast mate of his wife? Girl, Chris is a lot of things, but he don't seem that stupid. Most people wouldn't be. Like, what? So the thing about it is, Giselle, did you say I should not have called him a sneaky link? Yes. You did apologize for that. However, comma, you should also apologize for attaching malicious intent to something that was not malicious. You're wrong for that, and you should have just apologized, and you didn't. You're sitting like, I should be able to say that I don't feel comfortable in this situation. Okay, you can, but you made it seem like he did something to you. You also said he made you go into a room. How he make you go to a room if he knocked on your hotel room? He didn't tell you come to my room. He came to your room. What are you talking about? So it's like, what is going on? Again, no ownership on your part. Candace. She had every right to cuss her ass out last reunion. I did not see a problem with it. If everybody's like, how you going to say she like white looking ass? I'm like, yeah, y'all were fine with Katie and Ashley saying that first season reunion. Not the same thing, but Anglo-Saxon, I think is the term that she used. Eurocentric features, I think, is the term that Ashley used. So not that dissimilar than what the Candace said, but y'all have a problem with Candace says stuff. You know what? Never mind. Like Misha says, moving forward. She had every right to cuss your ass out because, one, get your feelings out and keep it moving. Candace, she did not. Did she attach malicious intent to what he did? Yes. Did he say that he sexually assaulted him? No, she did not. You are, the thing about it is like, can that be insinuated sexual assault? Maybe, because coercion is a form of sexual assault. Trigger warning. It is. If you're alleging that there's some kind of coercion, but coercion to be in a sexual nature, coercion to get someone to sleep with you, coercion to make someone stay and have sex with you or do sexual acts, that kind of coercion. She didn't. She didn't want to break down from that. She's like, am I crazy? No, she's not crazy. But the thing about it is, you want Giselle to own something. Candace, she got to own something too. Own that sexual assault part. The death threats. No, she don't have to. She don't have to own that. Because I distinctly remember she got either death threats or stuff similar when the season 5 fight was leaked. Not while it was filming. While it was leaked that fall before everybody saw the season. Candace is somebody who's gotten death threats before. I don't know. The thing about it is like Giselle could have gotten death threats before too. I don't know. She just has never talked about it. But you make it seem like it is Candace when literally it is the fandom reaching Beverly Hills levels of delulu about people they do or do not like is another thing. That's not Candace's fault. And she can feel bad, and she did apologize that this is going on with your children. Here's the thing. Fandoms are very unhinged. Potomac is one of them. Jersey, Def, I think all of them are. And that's getting sad, and this is making it, it's no longer being fun to be a part of certain fandoms. A lot of them have gotten super weird. And super, girl, this is supposed to be entertainment. Y'all are just taking this way too far. So it's been that way for a while. But attribute that all to Candace because she was just reacting to what you did to her? Giselle, you're wrong for that. We're not going to do this. We're not. The other thing that kind of got me about this reunion is when Candace started crying and Giselle was making jokes. And people are like, oh my God, Giselle, you're terrible. I'm like, time out. Since season, not even just season 5, I think they were doing it before season 5, maybe also season 4. People were telling, y'all were making all of the jokes about Candace, those triangles and her tears, telling her she needs to stop, literally going, F y'all, girl, why you keep crying, all of this stuff. Y'all have been doing this for years, but now you want to get on your high horse with Giselle? I know y'all fucking lying right now. It's like, wait a minute, hold up. I know it seems a little bit self-righteous for people to literally say, how dare yo, Giselle, you are totally wrong. Y'all have made tons of jokes and memes about Candace and her feelings because she is like Candy. When she is mad, Candy and me, because there are times when I'm so mad, it's all of my emotions, right? It's all my emotions. And sometimes those tears are not because I'm sad. The tears is because I'm mad. If you don't know what angry mad tears is, I don't know what to tell y'all, but y'all damn sure made jokes about that. So to sit on this like high horse about Giselle is like, girl, but y'all made jokes about this for years. This is the first time she ever did it to her face. Was it a little bit funny? It's a little bit funny. Is it mean, girl? Absolutely. It's very interesting that people have wanted Giselle to step her pussy up at these reunions. She stepped it up and y'all mad. Not y'all, but hashtag y'all, right? Was it a little funny? Yes. Would I have done it? No. This is the other thing, and I think I was talking to a friend about it. I think I was talking to my friend Natalia about this. The reason why Candace and Giselle can't move forward from Giselle's standpoint is because she don't care about her friendship, which is very loose, and I don't think she really had a real friendship with Candace, does not mean anything. She does not care about Candace as a person. So no, I don't want to move forward with nobody I don't give a fuck about. This is not the first person she's been at odds with on this show. Wendy's another person, but I think for the most part, her and Wendy just kind of leave each other alone, right? The example of if she cares about you or cares about your friendship and really values you as a person, she's going to try to work this out. The biggest example of this is Charisse. Between season 1 and season 2, Giselle fucked up with Charisse because she was talking about her dating a fireman when she was in the middle of trying to settle her divorce, which could have fucked up her divorce settlement. Don't let the zip code fool you, baby. The thing about it is, if there's no cameras, I feel like Charisse would have beat her ass. And notice, Giselle and Charisse are friends. They worked it out. Karen and Giselle and whatever kind of relationship they have, I don't think I've heard this Karen do this in a while, to call Giselle her friend. She said it in her confessional, and she said it on his finger, and like, all these women are my friends. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting. She has not said that in quite some time. So Karen's like, look here, I deserve to be first year. I think that's why she said it. Because now she's trying to act like she's the voice of reason. I'm like, okay, girl, all right. I'm the fence. And I'm glad that Andy's like, girl, your tagline makes not a lick of sense. It does. No, Karen, it does not. It does not make sense, girl. Your tagline is so weird. And what the hell are you talking about? That's how I feel. Giselle does not give a fuck about Candace or her feelings or her as a person. So that's why she can't fathom how deeply she really hurt Candace. Candace's tenure on the show, she has been better friends to people on the show than they ever been to her. Every person that she may have befriended or got friendly or was friends with, they have kind of stabbed her either in the back or on the side. Monique, Ashley, Robin, Giselle, Karen, not really Wendy, not Naka. Or is it Naka or Naka? And that's the thing. Her and Charisse started off rocky. but I think they're cool. So I think Charisse is probably not the outlier. And I know there's like she's friend of or she wasn't on the show, but I still think she and Charisse started off rocky and I think they're cool now. Which is why she probably did not cuss Charisse out when Charisse was talking to her. Because I think she values people in a way that they don't value her. And it's like she wears her heart on a string. It's what I kind of like. She's a Sagittarius. A lot of them do that. Sagittarius are good people, especially December Sagittarius. I know quite a few. They're good people. And they're good people to be your friends. And sometimes they're better friends to everybody else than they're better friends than people are friends to them. So I think that's probably why it's like it affects her so, especially the Robin thing, because friendships are relationships and relationships are work. But Giselle does not value her as a person. I'm not sure why, because Candace seems like a good time. But it's kind of like, it's like she looks down her nose a little bit at Candace and I'm not exactly sure why. Ma'am, Candace is not the reason why people are literally like, fuck you, bitch. There are people who have been fuck you, bitch, to Giselle since season one. I don't know why she's acting like this is somehow brand new and her fault. It's not. It's not Candace's fault. But if neither one of you value the relationship you two have, then there's no place for y'all to go and y'all need to cut it. That segment between them two, it was literally 6 minutes too long. And you know it's bad when Nia Thornton is voice of reason. You know, similar to Sonya Morgan being the voice of reason on Scary Island. If y'all go back and watch Roni, Scary Island, those episodes, please watch and look at Sonya Morgan being the voice of reason. Sonya T. Morgan. That's Sonya Morgan. Voice of reason. Crazy whenever I think about it. Even Wendy, who I know for a fact don't really like, she's like, girl, Giselle is vapor. Girl, I don't even see her. Even her saying, baby, you're going to have to own something. Did Candace own more than Giselle? Yes, she did. She's like, I chose to react. And we're going to get part two. I feel like we're going to get either the men, hopefully the men are going to come out. And we're going to get more of this Mia, basically demonstrating why Mia is first chair. That last 10 minutes of the finale just really shows that. Wendy's reaction, holding Candace's hand, trying to, you know, get to resolution, dictates why I've always liked Wendy on this show. She ain't gotta like you to be fair in something. Like, girl, can you own at least part of it? But if neither one of them want to own, like, I did something wrong. Because Giselle, you did not say he sexually assaulted you. You did not. But you insinuated something could have happened because you attached malicious intent to your interaction with Chris. That could be insane. Like, what did you think was going to happen? What do you think he's going to try to, like, force himself on you? Like, that's the thing. You could add those things in. And Giselle's too old not to realize that could have been that. Because if I'm being completely honest, Giselle and Candace both give off, they are fun times at a party. Candace more than Giselle, honestly. Robin seems like that's going to be my dance buddy. But also, so is Kiana and Wendy. Like, a lot, even Ashley. A lot of them feel, the thing about it is, I feel like the cast of Potomac seem like they will be fun at parties. Not anything past surface. Except for maybe Robin. And Wendy. Robin and Wendy, for some odd reason, it's like, I could see push past the surface. And also, maybe Karen seems like a good sounding board, but weigh your words with her, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm glad Candace is getting off this show, because I can see why. It's like, girl, there is no way forward, but you also don't want to move forward. There's not a way forward, and you don't want to work to get forward. So guess what? It's not going to happen. Baby, just leave. And I think that's what happened. She's like, girl, I am not doing this anymore. Because she got a lot of irons in the fire and I don't blame her. And I did see Ashley's little interview clip that was kind of shady. It's like, I hope this stands out more. I'm like, girl, do not try to like shade Candace, because your coffee and love ass is not doing more stuff than Candace. Candace putting out music. She is like a regular on a show. She has done movies. She like attends events. She go like, girl, don't shade her, because, you know, you can't just like spit Michael's yum yum sauce into a hand because you don't want to swallow it. What do y'all eat? Like, does he have bad? You just don't like the taste. Does he have bad? Does he not like drink a lot of water? Eat like a lot of citrus? He doesn't have good diet. Like, he doesn't have a good diet. Does he just eat like sand colored foods and drinks? No. Okay. Yeah, because it'll make your shit. It'll make your just taste gross. Okay, let me shut up. Stephanie, shut up. Let's see what the rest of this reunion is going to give. That is just a little bit tip. And hopefully I can get, because everybody who knows me knows I'm a contract employee in the Dixon District. Allegedly, my contract might be up because she may not be coming back. That's fine. I might have to go, you know, find a new contract on another show. I'm gonna have to find another contract. It's fine. It's totally fine. Oh yeah. I'm from Baltimore. So is Robin. So is Juan. I know a lot of Baltimore dudes. This is literally not surprising the way that Juan's acting. Here's the deal. I can see why people think that Juan does not support her. I'm like, he kind of doesn't. Girl, you want this lady to sit up here and just take all this stuff. And you want to know, it comes off like, girl, I ain't signing for the show. She signed up for the show. This is what you want. You want to go out there and do it. But she's taking bullets for you, baby. She's ducking and diving and dodging balls because of you. Not because of something she did. It's something that you did. I'm sorry. All you got to do is literally put on a suit and sit there and shut up. And it's like, as much as Gollum Darty got on my nerves, he did show up. I'm trying to think if he showed up every reunion. He may have. Ray, I'm like, nothing happened. I'm like, did we even see Ray this season? I think he's there. Gordon showed up. Girl, what? Now, I'm like, I'm wondering. I'm like, I know the Jersey husbands get paid. Now I'm like, did they pay y'all? Because I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how and what word Gordon is showing up to the reunion if there ain't no check for you. Yeah, you got to be paying them. That's the only way this will work out in my mind. The only way. But hopefully I can get some folks to recap so we can talk more about Potomac. It might be just one big thing with Safe Space. It might be the group. group chat, bloggers. Oh my God, I cannot. I have to see, you know, might have to stick some feels out. I'm like, we're going to have to discuss because it's a lot going on. And I'm like, Rodney, everybody going to get this work. Shake the table, because there was a whole lot of wrong in Devin Union on every side. Because as much as I love Candace, you're like, Giselle does not get to tell me how to react to what you've done. Then Candace, you can't tell Robin how she should react. See how that... The thing about it is, like, everybody looks at the offense more, like, the response than the offense. But if you don't want to move on, you're going to do that. Okay. Yeah. But you guys, thank you for listening. This has been the Welcome Men's Podcast. Like Dr. Wendy says, let me button it up. And I will be back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for riding with me. Thank you for your patience with me and my want to be consistent, but my want and not my action of being consistent. And I will apologize for that, because I do want to be more consistent and I need to. I appreciate everybody who listens, and I will be back. Bye.